Lesson 10, Introduction to Sentence Structure. We are now ready to begin to learn to translate the Greek of the New Testament. This lesson is to serve as an overview and introduction to sentence structure as it is found in the Greek New Testament. It is important to know that Greek sentences are not translated according to word order as it is in English. Greek sentences are translated according to the endings of the words. The endings of the words indicate what function the word performs in a sentence. Therefore, it is important first of all to know simple sentence structure. Principle number one. A sentence is an expression of a complete thought. The sentence we will be using in our illustrations and examples will be, "The man is writing the letter to the servant of the apostle." That is called a sentence because it is a complete thought. Principle number two. The two basic foundation words used in forming sentences are nouns and verbs. A noun is the name of a person, place, or thing. Notice the Greek word onoma. That's the Greek word for name. And that's where the word noun comes from. It is the name, an onoma, of a person, place, or thing. Secondly, a verb. A verb describes the action or existence of the subject in a sentence. Here's our example. Our example sentence broken down into nouns and verbs. The man. Man is a noun. Is writing. It's a verb. It shows the action in the sentence. The letter is a noun. It is a thing. To the servant. The servant is a person. That's a noun. Of the apostle. The apostle is a person. That is a noun. Lesson 10, page 2. Lesson 10, Introduction to Sentence Structure, continued. Principle number 3. As we stated in the introduction to this lesson, Greek sentences are not translated according to word order. Each word is translated according to the ending placed at the end of the word. The ending on the verb tells five things: tense, voice, mood, person, and number of persons involved in the action. We will study the verb in detail in lesson 11. The ending on the noun designates a case the word is placed in. Each case represents a certain function in the sentence. For example, of the five cases, first of all, the nominative case. That is, if the noun had nominative case endings on it, it expresses the subject in a sentence. The subject is the one doing or receiving the action in the sentence. So if a noun had the nominative case ending on it, it would tell us that that word is the subject of the sentence, the one doing or receiving the action. Again, that's very important because in Greek, as we have been saying, in sentence structure, sometimes the subject is at the end of the sentence. It does not come in word order. So you have to translate the sentence according to the endings on the words. So the nominative case endings express the subject in a sentence. Secondly, the genitive case expresses possession or ownership and is translated with the word of. The third case is the dative case. The dative case expresses the indirect object in a sentence. The indirect object expresses the indirect action of the verb and is translated with the words to or for. It tells to whom or for whom the action is taking place. Case number four is the accusative case. The accusative case expresses the direct object in a sentence and shows the direct action of the verb. The fifth case is the vocative case. The vocative case expresses direct address. Direct address is used for directly addressing someone. An example would be if I were to call your name, or if I were to call out, "Lord, help me." The word Lord would be in the vocative case because you are directly addressing the Lord. Or if I were to say, "Men, come here." The word men would be in the vocative case because you are directly addressing someone. So these are the five cases of the noun. Now let's take this and put it into our example sentence. The man, let's say, and using English now instead of Greek so that we can get it fixed in our mind how this works in Greek. If the word man had nominative case endings on it, that would tell us that it is the subject in the sentence. If is writing is a verb, it tells us the action. If the letter was in the accusative case, that would tell us that it is the direct object and receives the direct action of the verb is writing. It tells what the man is writing. He is writing the letter. And therefore, if the word letter had the accusative case ending on it, that would tell us that it's the direct object, and we would translate it as receiving the direct action of the verb. Then notice the word servant. Now, in a sentence, a Greek sentence, it'll only have the word servant or the servant. It will not have the word to. That is supplied. If the word servant had a dative case ending on it, that would tell us that it is the indirect object in the sentence and therefore receives the indirect action of the verb. The one that receives the direct action is the word letter. The indirect object tells us to whom or for whom the action is taking place. The man is writing the letter to the servant. So the dative case is translated to or for. And then lastly, of the apostle. And again in Greek, the word apostle will just be by itself, or it'll have the word the with it. But the word of will not be in the sentence. That has to be supplied. The word of translates the genitive case because the genitive case shows possession or ownership. So the man is writing the letter to the servant of the apostle, meaning the servant belongs to the apostle. Now to Lesson 10, page 3. Lesson 10, Introduction to Sentence Structure, continued. The information on the previous page is important information to know. In Greek, the writer does not necessarily put the subject first and the verb second. The Greek writer will put his point of emphasis at the beginning of the sentence. Here's an example of how a typical Greek sentence might look like translated into English. The letter, the servant, the apostle is writing the man. If you do not know the cases of each word, you will not be able to tell the function of each word in the sentence. Going back to our example sentence again, you can't tell if the letter, the servant, the apostle, or the man is the subject of the sentence. Who's doing the writing? Is it the apostle is writing? Is the servant writing, or is the man writing? We don't know. The only way you could tell is if the nominative case ending was on the end of the word. We would know that that would be the subject. Let's take our sentence again. The letter, the servant, the apostle is writing the man. If in Greek I knew that the term the man had the nominative case endings on it, I would know that the man was the subject of the sentence. Remember, the subject of the sentence is doing or receiving the action. Again, taking our sentence. The letter, the servant, the apostle is writing the man. If in Greek I knew that the term the apostle was in the genitive case, I would know that the apostle expresses ownership and is translated of the apostle. Again, our sentence. The letter, the servant, the apostle is writing the man. If in Greek I knew that the term the letter was in the accusative case, I would know that the letter expresses the direct object which receives the direct action of the verb. It tells what the verb is doing. The verb is writing. What is he writing? He is writing the letter. Therefore, the letter would have the accusative case endings on it to tell us that is the direct object. Again, our sentence, the letter, the servant, the apostle is writing the man. If in Greek I knew that the term the servant was in the dative case, I would know that the servant expresses the indirect object of the verb and is translated by to or for. The translation would be to the servant, showing to whom or for whom the action is taking place. Lesson 10, page 4. Lesson 10, Introduction to Sentence Structure, continued. In summary, our sentence would be translated like this. The man is writing the letter to the servant of the apostle. Again, in English, we have to change the wording around to put the subject first, even though in Greek it was at the end of the sentence. But we know the man is the subject because it would be in the nominative case. Is writing is the verb because it shows the action the subject is performing. The letter would be the direct object receiving the direct action of the verb because it was in the accusative case. To the servant, and notice the word to is blocked off because the word to is not in the sentence in Greek. It has to be supplied. The indirect object is to whom or for whom the action is taking place. So the letter that the man is writing is to the servant. And it is the indirect object because it is in the dative case. And then the term of the apostle. Again, the word of is not in the Greek text, but it is supplied and translated that way because the word apostle is in the genitive case showing ownership or possession. The servant belongs to the apostle, therefore it is translated of the apostle. These are important descriptions of the basics of sentence structure. This material will be presented in detail in Lessons 11 and 12. In your next lesson, Lesson 11, you'll be given the details on verbs, those words that express the action in the sentence. And then in Lesson 12, you'll be introduced to your first nouns and the study of the cases will be presented in detail at that time. I want to encourage you not to get discouraged if you have trouble understanding grammar or sentence structure or worry about applying all of these rules, I want to encourage you to continue on in the course. You will not be left on your own to figure any of this out in a Greek sentence. You are being introduced to this material. Some of it you'll have to spend some time on while moving on to the next lessons. But I will be repeating, re-emphasizing all of this material all the way through the course. For some people, there will be parts of this material that they just won't catch on to or understand right away. But will maybe in lesson 30, when another piece of information is added. Plus, after this course, we will be going through the entire New Testament together, word for word. So you will not be left on your own to figure this out. I just encourage you to keep going, keep studying, keep listening, and not get discouraged and stop studying. You do not need to memorize this material, but you should become familiar with it while practicing the exercise for this lesson. If you care to memorize it, that's fine. Don't get discouraged if you think you have to memorize all of this material. It'll be presented in detail in lessons 11 and 12. And even then, if you still don't understand most of it, it'll be reinforced all the way through this course for you. So continue on. Continue listening. And continue studying. And by all means, don't stop. Lesson 10, Exercise 1, the Pronunciation Exercises. In this exercise, you'll be reading the text of John 1, 1 through 18, with the capital letters now in the text. There will be a short pause between the pronunciation of the Greek words to give you a chance to pronounce the word first before you hear it on the tape. So we will be pausing between words to give you a chance to pronounce the next word before you hear it. Now, if you need more time, you can hit your pause button on your tape recorder before you turn it on and hear the pronunciation of the word, if you would like. Beginning with line 1, and by the way, these numbers in parentheses are the verse numbers in John 1, 1 through 18. So line 1, the first word, N, R, K, Ain, Ho, Logos, Chi. Line 2, Ho, Logos, Ain, Pros, Tone, Theon. Line 3. Chi, Theos, Ain, Ho, Logos, Houtos. Line 4. Ain, N, RK, Pros, Tone, Theon. Line 5. Panta, D, Autu, Aganito, Chi, Choris. Line 6. Autu, Aganito, Ude, Hen, H, ho ngegonen. Line 7. En auto zoe ein kai hey. Line 8. Zoe ein to fos tone anthropone. Line 9. Kai to fos n te scotia. Line 10. Fine kai hey scotia auto u. Lesson 10, exercise 1, continued, beginning with line 11. Line 11. Katela ben ageneto anthropos apestomenos. Line 12. Para Theu onoma auto Ioannes Houtos. Line 13. Alephone ace Marturion Hina Marturese Peri. Line 14. Two photos Hina Pantes Pistusose D. Line 15. Autu Uk Ain Akenos To Fos. Line 16. All Hina Marturese Peri Tu Photos. Line 17. Ain. Remember, that's the capital Eta, the breathing mark and accent to the left of the capital letter. Again, line 17. Ain. Toe. Fos. Toe. Alethinon. Ho. Line 18. Fotidze. Panta. Anthropon. Ercomenon. Ace. Line 19. Tone. Cosmon. N. Toe. kosmo, ein, kai. Line 20. Ho, kosmos, di, autu, agenito, kai. Line 21. Ho, kosmos, auton, uk, egno, ace. Line 22. Ta, idia, aelthe, kai, hoi, idioi. Lesson 10, Exercise 1, continued. Continuing at line 23. Line 23. Au tone. Ooh. Parillabone. Hosoi. De. Elabone. Line 24. Autone. Etoken. Autois. Exousion. Techna. Theu. Line 25. Genesthi. Tois. Pistuusin. Ace. Toe. Onoma. Line 26. Autu. Hoi. Uk. X. Haimaton. Ude. Line 27. Ek. Thelematos. Sarkos. Ude. Ek. Thelematos. Line 28. Andros. All. Ek. Theu. Eganathason. Kai. Line 29. Ho. Logos. Sarx. Agenito. Kai. Eskenosen. Line 30. N. Hamin. Kai. Ethe Asamatha. Tain. Doxon. Line 31. altu, doxan, hos, monogenus, para, patros. Line 32. Play race. Caritos. Kai. Aletheos. Ioannis. Line 33. Marchu Ray, Paris, Altu, Kai, Kekrege, Legon, Line 34, Hutos, Ain, Hone, Apon, Ho, Opiso, Mu. Line 35. Ercomenos. Emprosthen, Mu, Gegonin, Hoti. Lesson 10, Exercise 1 continued, beginning at line 36. Line 36. Protos, Mu, Ain, Kai, Ek, Tu. Line 37. Pleuromatos, Autu, Hey Mace, Pantes, Elabomen. Line 38. Kai, Karin, Anti, Caritos, Hoti, Ho. Line 39. Nomos, Dia, Moseos, Edothe, Hey, Caris. Line 40. Kai, Hey, Aletheia, Dia, Iesu, Christu. Line 41. Agenito, Theon, Udes, Heorica, Popota. Line 42. ho, monogenes, huios, ho, own, ace, tone. Line 43. Colpone. Two. Patros. Ekenos. Exegesato. Now you should review this exercise thoroughly while going on to lesson 11 and the study of verbs. We have a little bit of time left. I want to go back up to line 36 and read pretty much how it would sound, reading at a regular pace, the Greek of lines 36 through 43. Beginning at line 36. Protosmu ein, kai ek tu pleromatos autu, hemes pantes ilabomen, kai karin anti karitos, hoti ho nomos dia moseos erothe, he karis kai he aletheia, dia Iesu Christu agenito. Theon udes eoraka popota. Ho monogenes huios. Ho on eis ton kopon tu patros. Ekenos exegesito.